You are listening to Conversations with me, Pollyanna. 18 and older, please proceed and enjoy. Under 18, listen no further.
Hello, loves. So excited to be back with you after a really fun summer. Lots of family time and friend time making memories. I hope you had fun too. Let me know what you were up to this summer, and I'd love to include any exciting, fun, or important to share stories. You know, something, a lesson that you've learned on future episodes. So make sure you write those to me at withpollyanna, that's one L, two N's, at gmail.com. That's withpollyanna at gmail.com. Now, on today's episode, we are featuring Marla Renee Stewart. So Marla is a lecturer at Clayton State University and runs her own sexuality education company, Velvet Lips. She is also a co-founder of the Sex Down South Conference, which we'll hear about in this episode from her, and she's the co-founder of the Sexual Liberation Collective. Marla has studied human sexuality for more than 18 years and has been featured on a variety of media outlets, including this one, as well as spoken to various audiences around the world. She's been in books and magazines, and now today, she's on Conversations with Pollyanna. I really wish I could go to Sex Down South. It really is one of the premier events, and so if you can go in September, it's the weekend of September 5th, I highly recommend you go. I have to miss it this year because my precious, beautiful, aspiring author daughter is going to be attending a young writers conference with a bunch of major authors. I didn't want her to miss out on that, so mommy took one for the team, and she's gonna do the mommy thing that weekend instead of going to this super fun Sex Down South. And you'll hear about what makes it so fun later on. But in this episode, we're also going to talk about dating while depressed, if we should do that. What causes the spark to fade in a relationship? We've all experienced relationship energy down. I get awesome recommendations all the time. That's a big part of the way that I seek people out to interview. But if there's somebody that I haven't thought of that you've come across and you think others would appreciate hearing from, please let me know. You heard my email before, withpollyanna@gmail.com. Let's get this conversation going, shall we? Hello, Marla. Thank you for joining us today. In my research, I saw that you were on three boards that I was able to find out about. So I guess there could be more. Spark Reproductive, Justice Now, the Atlanta Harm Reduction Coalition, and Diverse Sexualities Research and Education Institute. So tell me about these organizations and what you do with them.
Actually, I retired off the Atlanta Harm Reduction Coalition board just recently. I'm not on their board anymore, but when I was on their board, I was their board secretary, and I helped with their marketing. I also did different kinds of trainings for the organization, including like customer service trainings or any kind of like outreach trainings around like how to reach LGBTQ populations, things like that. After that board, it's sort of an overlap between the Diversified Research that name is like so long, but that board, I just recently joined, and I'm part of a consulting committee around diversity. So I'm trying to basically, they consult, we have like a, like a listserv kind of thing. So I put in my input for, you know, whatever kinds of things that they need. And for Spark Reproductive Justice Now, I am a board treasurer. Spark Reproductive Justice Now focuses on Black women and LGBTQ youth and their leadership skills, thinking about sort of queering up reproductive justice. I think it's probably the only queer reproductive justice organization that explicitly says that they are queer focused.
Your sexual education company is Velvet Lips. Tell me about Velvet Lips and how my listeners can become your students.
So Velvet Lips is my sexuality education company. What I tell people is I specialize in seduction, communication, and sex skills. And I help people to build up their sexual confidence. And so with that, you know, if people want training on like, you know, better their sex skills or communication skills, a lot of couples come to me when they're having issues or, you know, their sex life dies or they're trying to figure out what's going on or, you know, they're not communicating well, or I'm really just helping, you know, relationships get back on the right track. For single folks, it's really about helping them develop better skills, you know, around communication, sex skills. So yeah, it's really, people can become students, or if they want to take a class, they can take a private class anytime. I usually work online, or if you see me in person, I travel a lot. So if I'm in your city, it's kind of like you can book me while I'm in your city. Otherwise, we can do it online. The most stable places that I'm at at the moment would be in Fort Lauderdale or Miami and Atlanta. So South Florida and Atlanta are sort of where I am the most stable sometimes. So maybe I'll spend a week or two in each place if I'm not traveling a whole
lot. Wow, you travel a lot.
I do.
When a couple comes to you and says they've lost their spark, what is some of the advice that you would give them? What are some of the reasons that usually that happens in a relationship?
Financial issues, power struggles, they're very comfortable with each other, so low desire. So thinking about how, you know, the new relationship energy ends, right? Sometimes it's they've just become too comfortable with each other, or they aren't putting in the effort. You know, they're just kind of like, well, we're going through the motions and we love each other. And, you know, but, you know, and then what happens is slowly because of the comfortability or because they have financial issues or they're having issues with their children or families or they're having communication struggles, that's when, of course, the sex life suffers. It's usually something outside of sex that is affecting them. So sometimes it's trauma. So it just depends on what it is that they're dealing with at the time and how I can sort of help them out realizing what they need, what they want. Like, for instance, I had a client who I have a few clients actually whose like husbands like have cheated on them, right? And so building that trust back up can be an issue. Trying to figure out, you know, what was the reason behind the cheating in the first place. Sort of really developing the skills to keep their partners happy. For me, for whatever reason, I guess, I don't know, maybe most of my relationships have been just very, like, sex hasn't been an issue. And I contribute that mostly because I usually see everything as new all the time. Like, everything's always new to me. Like, the person is always new to me, or I'm always discovering something about them. So for me, they're always an intriguing character. And I think when you want to stop getting to know your partner and know their stories or their background, I think that is when also the relationship suffers or the sex life dies. And then just some people are naturally, you know, sometimes they're on medications or going through mental health challenges. That can really affect their desire too. There's a bunch of things that can affect it.
In a conference that we were both in recently, I sat in on the neurodiversity discussion forum. Mm-hmm. And it was brought up during that forum whether or not we should date and seek out intimacy while we're going through depression. Mm. Or what I called my blue periods in my life. Very Picasso. So for me, I tend to hibernate and stick to my closest and my nearest and dearest friends and partners, romantic and intimate partners, what have you. Mm-hmm. But I can certainly see how that is not necessarily true for everyone. Some people might not want to change their practices at all. So what do you think? Should people who are experiencing depression date or seek out intimate experiences, or should they pull back?
I don't think there is a right answer for that. I feel like, you know, there's people like me who I'm okay with dating people who are depressed, but at the same time, it can affect me too, right? Because I'm feeling for them and I'm a naturally happy person. So the only times I really get depressed is when something saddens me for whatever reason. Other than that, like when I see someone who, you know, has depression, for me, it's like I'm a caretaker. So I'm naturally a nurturer, so I tend to like, oh, well, let me help you. You know, how can I help you in any way? If I can help you, I'll be your support. If not, if you want me to go away, I can do that. So I've dated people who've had depression. I also think, you know, it's a matter of taking care of yourself. So however it is that you take care of yourself, if you're in a relationship in depression, like there's really not like there's nothing you can do about it except for maybe take space somehow. If you are single and by yourself and you're depressed, like I think you definitely, well, I feel if I were to be in that position, I would take a break just because I would want to get myself sort of back on track and check in with friends and family rather than a romantic partner.
You had a workshop and your workshop was all about keeping up new relationship energy. So what is new relationship energy? And what gets it down?
So new relationship energy is that energy boost that you feel when you have a new partner, a potential, you know, potential dating partner. And it's the energy you feel like, oh my gosh, I get to meet someone new. I get to discover who this person is. And then like, if you're into having sex, then like you want to, you know, have sex with them all the time. And you're just like, I want to discover new ways. And how can this partner please me? And how can I please them? And it's just like, you know, the honeymoon, it's the rose colored glasses, right? And it's such a good feeling to be in. What happens a lot of the times when we get to know our partners, and here's the thing, new relationship energy can fade so some of us live with our partners, right? New relationship energy can fade more quickly if you live with your partners as opposed to living without your partners. And so when you live without your partners, the new relationship energy is always there. It's just sort of you pick up where you left off. Whereas you living with your partners, the new relationship energy can fade quickly, right? It can fade maybe 6 months, a year, you know, just depending on, you know, your person. You know, it all depends on certain factors. You getting to know them, right? And seeing things that they're faults, you know, that can quickly help to fade new relationship energy. You know, you're actually getting to know them and you're like, I don't like this thing about you. For me, it's just like knowing their faults ahead of time, I usually like to know those like on the first few dates, right? Like, what are the worst things about you? Let me know now, and that way I can decide and we don't have to waste our time. That has seemed to help me a lot. But a lot of people don't ask those kind of questions, right? They just like bask in the energy. I have a friend, one of my best friends actually, has a new partner every year. Like it's interesting. Like she just kind of cycles and, you know, dates, you know, a year at a time. And I think that's for her, she's always seeking new and fresh energy. And sometimes that, because she's polyamorous, it's like she is constantly on the search. Even when she's in that new relationship, she's seeking attention from other people all the time, always. Like that is just how her personality is, you know? Yeah, so for her, it just sort of, it fades yearly. So I think it just depends on like who you are as a person and like what you're, and how you wanna keep things fresh. And I think the way that keeps things fresh is I usually give people, like when people come to me, I have an erotic activity sheet. And so the erotic activity sheet just sort of like, make it like your sex bucket list. That, you know, like do all, if you're open, like usually polyamorous people are very open, right? Or non-monogamous people are open. Yeah. And so, you know, doing all the things on the list can be sort of like, you know, a nice sex bucket list. I just encourage people to just like, try new things. And for me, it's really about seduction as well. So knowing what their learning style is, knowing what their love language is, you know, putting those things together, plan your sex dates. Yeah, it might not be spontaneous. Someone's got to have to plan something, you know, and polyamorous people communicate, you know, non-monogamous people communicate. So, you know, it's just a matter of if you want to keep this sex date to yourself, that's perfectly okay. In order for it to seem spontaneous, just, I like plans, make a plan, you know, cultivate your sex seed, you know, plant the sex seed, cultivate it. And you know, hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah. I grew up watching Alfred Hitchcock and M. Night Shyamalan movies. So for me, it's like, I'm looking for the suspense. Mm-hmm, I want to wait for it.
Yeah.
Alrighty, loves, we're going to take a quick break and be right back with more of this amazing conversation. Quote, 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 quote me. It's time for the quote of the day, my loves. Quote me.
Out of consideration for some events that have been happening around our country that follow a trend that's been going on for far too long, there are a few quotes that I wanted to bring up today as we digest what happens, as we process what has been happening, and move forward together into the future. Both are from Cesar Chavez, and so here's the first one. Preservation of one's own culture does not require contempt or disrespect for other cultures. And this, I think, is so true. In order to bolster ourselves up, we never need to put other people down, whether it's a whole group of people. And this really is perpetuated by stigmas and stereotypes. Not all people from one country are going to be one way. Not all people from one racial background are going to be mostly similar. That's just completely unfair to assume. And I don't want to get too deep into this today because I'm frankly just not ready for it. I'm still processing everything. This hurts me, as I'm sure it hurts everyone, the way that our culture has been talking so to each other so dividedly, with so much racism, with so much division, with these polarizing ways of speaking, this trolling each other. And it all has to at some point stop or diminish, at least. I think maybe expecting it to stop is a very Pollyanna. Very Pollyanna expectation, and I don't even have that. So as I and as everyone else is still processing and healing and hurting so much, I think that I'm going to continue to hesitate to speak too soon and too great of detail. But this quote today really, I feel like, is an important point that was made in the past that definitely deserves being quoted again, mentioned again. So another quote he has is this. Very quotable guy. You can just look up his quotes and I'm sure you'll find more gold. So this one says, kindness and compassion toward all living things is a mark of a civilized society. Conversely, cruelty, whether it is directed against human beings or against animals, is not the exclusive province of any one culture or community of people. Racism, economic deprival, dogfighting and cockfighting, bullfighting and rodeos are cut from the same fabric. Violence. Only when we have become nonviolent toward all life will we have learned to live well ourselves. Violence, ingrained and woven into the fabric of society and culture, is not new. This has been around since ancient Roman times. When I was a kid, I was really into ancient cultures and societies, and the one I was exposed to the most, because this is how the curriculum was built for me, was Roman and Greek. And if you look at pictures of people that go to Italy and they go on Italian tours, I've never yet had the pleasure. It always strikes me as so strange, knowing the history of the smiling pictures and the very memeable Instagram friendly and trendy pictures people take in front of the fucking Colosseum. It's just bewildering to me. And maybe they just don't know the history of what happened there. I feel like if one day when I, and I will go there one day, when I visit the Colosseum, I feel like it's just going to really, I'm going to feel it in every soul that I am as a human being, knowing the cruelty, the animals and people that happened there, the just waves of blood for the sake of entertainment, and how savage that is. We look back and we see that as savage, but how many portions of our culture can be so easily compared to the sports, the air quotes sports, the horrific, disturbing things that happened at the Colosseum, that people just smile and do weird poses, which seems, I don't know, it just seems out of bizarre to me, and put them on their Instagram account in front of the Colosseum. How many moments in our society and experiences can we relate to this ancient Roman cruelty? That was thousands of years ago. How do we evolve in society as culture? We devolve too, but we evolve very, very slowly. This is true. This is very true. But as we're evolving as a society and culture slowly, our technology evolves at a rapid pace. So of course, when we find ourselves in moments like we're in, we scramble and we struggle to catch up in legislation and in how we monitor things and our online activities, and everyone is just freaking out, and then they're freaking out at each other. I think the important thing to remember is, what are our main goals here? Our main goals are to encourage a society, I think, and as I said before, I'm still processing everything. And I know everyone else is too. But I would think that for a lot of us, we would aspire to avoid violence that ends in the death of innocent people and our communities across the world being terrorized. I would think that would be, maybe I'm wrong, but maybe that is hopefully one of our main goals. So that's our first goal. And our second one is to mitigate hate. There's always going to be hatefulness. It's human nature. But I can't imagine that we would want it to continue to fester in people, going unchecked, going unsupported, going uncorrected. There's a lot of dangerous things that come up when we talk about how to resolve these issues when it comes to our rights and our freedoms. And we should be careful in considering how we approach do something whatever that something is, how we do something, what the repercussions are for something. I think Sesta Fosta is a great example of that, of, you know, going too far in one direction and not really resolving what you want to resolve or affecting it that much at all, but hurting a bunch of other people. So that's definitely something we should be careful of. But whatever we do, as we do it together, in opposition and in unity, let's all please remember to be loving to one another, because we lost some precious lives, and we will probably lose more precious lives when this happens again. It's only a matter of time. And whoever you disagree with on how to resolve this issue, that's a living person, and that life is precious too, and it should be treasured. So even if you disagree, be grateful that the person that you're disagreeing with has the breath in their body and the voice being inspired by their mind to disagree with you. Because for over 30 people, after just one weekend, those are over 30 people that you will not get to have that exchange with. So minimize the hate, increase the understanding, and increase the love as we move forward together, as we take action together, as we do good work together, make a difference together as living, breathing lives to be cherished on this earth. Thank you for sharing another amazing quote so I can share with everyone else. Have some words of wisdom that inspire you? Email them to this philosophy-hungry sapiosexual at withpollyanna.com/contact.
Quote me.
The quote. We have got to talk about September. So your event, Sex Down South, is coming up. What is Sex Down South? Where is it? When is it?
So Sex Down South is a sexuality education conference. It is a 3-day conference all about sex. So any capacity. So it's about relationships, single folks, polyamorous folks. It's about swingers. It's about kinksters. It's about reproductive justice. It's about tantric sexuality, spiritual sexuality, religious, trauma, survivorship. It's like all the things that you could possibly think of when it comes to sex. It's like a hodgepodge of stuff. It's a very diverse conference, and we really make a point to center marginalized identities such as queer and trans folks, folks of color, folks with disabilities. So we really strive to make sure those people are the first people that get heard. It's education during the day. So there's like a bunch of workshops. There's probably like 5 to 8 workshops at any given time. Then we have fun and party at night. So we make sure there's always entertainment at nighttime. So we have it's a really fun, awesome time. It always feels like a family reunion. Everybody's just like super nice and open and helpful and just loving. And I really love Sex Down South. And Tia and I, you know, created this baby 5 years ago. And so this is our 5th year running, and we're just, yeah, excited about the possibilities. And we're in a bigger space. And last year we had like 450 people. So this year we're hoping to have more. And we also have pre-cons. So we have a desire mapping institute, and we also will have a sexual attitude reassessment pre-con. So we are just sort of like doing all the things. And we just try to be creative too. Like our closing party is called the Big Bang. And it's sort of like a variety show and dance party. We also have photography, like, you know, free photography, you know, like getting in this called the black box. Just basically we have fun. We have a good time, but it's also educational too.
Tell us about who is presenting.
So we have Midori that is brand new this year. She's never been to Sex Down South. I've always looked up to Midori. I knew Midori way back in San Francisco when I was a youngin, like in my 20s. So I'm super excited to have her. And we have Afrosexology. They're going to be one of our sex celebs as well. And they are a dynamic duo. They've been at Sex Down South every year. And so we're really excited just to have them present. They're like on a roll this year. We also have a new guy from Toronto named Rahim. And he is a queer guy who specializes in therapy, but also just communication, particularly with LGBTQ folks and gay men. You know, we always try to get like a hodgepodge of people, but yeah, we are excited about all of them. And then of course we have our people who come back, like Tristan Terramino, who is amazing. amazing. Dr. Ruthie, who's awesome. Ignacio Rivera. Those are like our comeback people. We always invite them to come back to make sure like our conference is spectacular. So they've always been supportive every single year that we've had it.
What should attendees of the event pack for Sex Down South?
Gosh, what should you pack? Oh my gosh.
I don't have to run down to the mall or anything. We want it all there so we can stay there.
Well, here's the thing. We invite you just to be you. Right. And so we also have like a nude space. So you don't have to pack anything if you don't want to. you should just pack what you're comfortable in because you're going to be there all day. And conferences can get tiring, especially if you're there back to back to back to back to back trying to, you know, do this and do that and do this and see the vendors and do this and that. It is a lot. So just be comfortable. We have a healing space. So we invite people to, if they're feeling triggered in any way or just need to relax, you know, get some Reiki done, you know, you can go in there, relax, take a nap, do some yoga, whatever, right? Yeah, so be comfortable. Maybe pack, we're going to have a dungeon this year. I forgot to say that. So we're super excited about that. So Tia and I are like collecting dungeon equipment at this moment. We're going to have a dungeon. So if you have your kink gear, if not, I'm sure we're going to have a kink vendor. So can buy some new toys. So if you're into kink, definitely can bring your stuff. Bring something sexy. Bring something sexy for our nighttime events. We have a mix and mingle where you mix and mingle with our sex celebs or just getting to know people who are there at the conference. A lot of presenters who are here at Southwest Love Fest will also be at probably presenting at Sex Down South. And what else should you pack? You know, a good attitude.
Oh, yeah.
A loving personality, your charisma. But yeah, clothes you're comfortable in, maybe your kinky gear and a toothbrush. Yes.
Fresh breath.
Yes.
For those interested in attending Sex Down South next month, how do they buy tickets? And for those who can't attend but want to support the event, how can they do that?
So if you want to support, you can feel free to donate at any time, or we have a sponsor packet, partner packet. So you can look on our partner packet and see if you want to advertise, you can put in to advertise in our program. If you want to support us, you can promote us on your avenues, you know, whatever media, your social media that you have. You can go to buy tickets at sexdownsouth.com. Sex Down South, also, when you go there, you can buy tickets there. There's a couple videos on there. You can see what it's like. You can look at the sponsor packet. You can see the last email we sent out. You know, there's a variety of things. Once we get our presenters up, you'll be able to see the presenters, the workshops, and all that information that will be up soon.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Marla. I really enjoyed it. Should anyone listening want to learn more from you, connect with you, follow you, what are the best ways for them to do that?
If you want to follow me on social media, you can go to Velvet Lip Sex Ed, and the sex doesn't have the E in it. So I'm trying to avoid, just because of Sestafosta, all that stuff, I'm just trying to avoid all that mess. So that's sort of the best way that I'm doing that. So Velvet Lip Sex Ed without the E in sex. And then if you want to follow my personal page, just because you're curious about me, you can. It's one Marla Stewart. Sex Down South on Instagram. You can find it SDS Con. They've taken down our Instagram because we had Sex Down South. So we're just like SDS Con. And then Sex Down South ATL on Facebook and Twitter. If you want to email me, you can email me at marla@velvetlipsllc.com. You can go to my website. You can go to Velvet Lips Sex Ed, and that does have the E in it. .com or velvetlipsllc.com, sexdownsouth.com.
Did you like today's episode? Rate, review, and subscribe. Make sure you check out my website left in the show details with pollyanna.com for everything Pollyanna all the time. Want to support what I'm doing and become part of the inner circle? Visit patreon.com/withpollyanna and become a patron. As always, be good to yourself and be good to others. Laters. If you ask, I can shimmy everything except for where my past been. Passion was less than passive on the path in. Now it's all an act in a bad scene. Jazz swing them hips over here, all the little.